So we have seen this episode of Kubja. So Kubja had a hunchback and then she was straightened by Krishna and she developed lusty feelings towards Krishna and she wanted to immediately unite with him. And she was even catching his cloth and then pulling him, and Krishna kind of diverted the topic, saying that, "Oh, it's a hasarasa personified. Although she is doing so much comedy, why you people are not laughing?" And Krishna promised her that I will definitely come, but I have a mission now, so after some time I will come. We are like travelers coming from a different place. So you can only give us shelter at your home. So Kubja's rati is like a jewel. However, it's an ordinary jewel. The queens of Dwaraka, they also had rati towards Krishna. That rati is like a Chandrakanta mani, Chandrakanta jewel. And gopis also had rati for Krishna, that is like Kaustubha mani. So Kubja's rati is ordinary money. Dwaraka queen's rati is Chandrakanta money. Gopi's rati is Kaustubha money. All are monies, but they are different. So, although everything can be put under this conjugal mellow, still there are gradations within that also. So the attention of Kubja was for Krishna is because of lust, and then she wanted to enjoy with Krishna. That is her motive. But in the case of gopis, it's not that they want to enjoy with Krishna, they were only looking for an opportunity where they can give pleasure to Krishna. They decorate themselves nicely, they do various activities only to please Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna. Kaviraj Goswami very elaborately describes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the gopis, their love is compared to gold, while the lust of ordinary people in this world is compared to iron. So now Krishna, with whatever feelings, Kubja was very much favorable towards Krishna, she wanted to associate with Krishna. So because of that element of love, Krishna straightened her hunchback. On the other hand, we had another woman, hunchback woman. Who is that? Manthara. So Manthara always behaved in an inimical way towards Krishna, towards Ram, and then her hunchback was not straightened. You see? So Krishna He is on a mission now to kill Kamsa and other demoniac people at Mathura. So Krishna was on this mission. He could not take the comforts offered by either Akrura or the hospitality offered by Kubja. It's like Hanumanji was on a mission to find Sita. When Mainaka was offering comforts to Hanumanji, he was not accepting. He was touched and then moved ahead. So you may not accept some comforts from someone, some facility from someone, but definitely you can acknowledge their mood, their attitude to serve you, and even if you have to deny, you may do that in a very polite way. So we can learn that art from Krishna's dealings when he entered Mathura. So when Akrura invited him, he was politely denying. When Manthara invited, then when Kubja invited him also, he was politely denying. And then he was moving forward. So when he moved forward, so many Brahmanas and other Vaishyas, so they came and offered worship to Krishna. So Kshatriyas were generally dwelling in the center of the city, and thus the worship of Krishna is not mentioned. Their worship of Krishna is not mentioned, because Krishna is just entering within the city. Now he is being worshipped by Vaishyas and the merchants and then other people. So as he was moving forward, all the women of Mathura, they were observing Krishna, and they were, some of them, not every one of them. So these women were attracted to the beauty of Krishna. Taddarshanasmara kshobhat atmanam navidan striyaham visrasta vasah kavara valaya lekhya murtayaham.
The sight of Krishna aroused Cupid in the hearts of the city women. Thus agitated, they forgot themselves. Their clothes, braids and bangles become disheveled, and they shooed, and they stood as still as figures in a painting.
Okay. So all these ladies, they were attracted to Krishna in a conjugal mood. Cupid arrows in their hearts. So, visrasta vasaha kavara. Their clothes and braids and bangles became disheveled, and they stood as still figures in a painting. Valaya lekhya murtayaha. Like, when you have a 2D painting on the wall, they don't move. So it's like clicked photo, but they are 3D people. So, but still there is no movement. So that indicates murcha. Murcha means loss of consciousness, fainting. So, and also sometimes they, because of that unmada, because of their deep feelings of ecstasy, they fall on the ground and they roll on the ground. So that's why their braids and bangles and clothes become disheveled, because of that rolling. How can, if they are standing still like paintings, how can their clothes and everything will be disheveled? It's not possible. And there is rolling also. So all this is because of the 10 effects of Cupid. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives these 10 effects in the purport. So Chakshuraga is the first effect. Chakshuraga means there is an attachment through vision. First you glance at the object, right? Then there is attraction through the eyes because of the vision. Then Chitta Sangha. Chitta Sangha means Chitta Asanga. There is deep attachment in the mind. So first that initial attachment is developed through eyes. Then there is a deep attachment in the mind. Third is Sankalpaha. Sankalpa means you make a vow. You make a determined decision that I have to associate with this person, or I want to get this beloved object. It could be anything. This 10 effects of attraction can happen with anything. Not only that, in a positive way, on a spiritual plane, all the women are undergoing these 10 effects of Cupid when they saw Krishna. Ajamil also was undergoing these 10 effects when he saw the prostitute. Right? Even a person who is in this material world, he can also get affected by just by seeing a phone, seeing an iPad, or seeing another person, college girl, studying in the same classroom or whatever. It could happen with anything. The object could be different, but the feelings that one undergoes are generally like this because of attachment, lust, desire. So first is Chakshuraga, Chittasanga, then Sankalpa. Fourth is Nidra Chedaha. They can't sleep properly. They're constantly thinking about this only. They can't sleep. Five is Tanuta. They become very emaciated. If you don't get proper sleep, if you don't take proper food, you are thin. So that is Tanuta. Next, sixth effect is Vishaya Nivrittihi. That means, Vishaya Nivritti means you will lose interest in all other Vishayas, all other things. If it is a spiritual attraction towards Krishna, you will lose interest in material things. If it is a material attraction towards another material object, you will lose interest in other material things and of course spiritual things. Next, seventh effect is Trapanashaha. Trapanashaha means they will lose all shame. Even shamelessly also they can go outside and then get for it. Someone is so obsessed with purchasing a new iPhone, wherever he sees a poster of iPhone, he will just go and stand there only. What are you looking at? iPhone ka poster dekh raha hu. Kyun? I want that. I'll take it, na? I don't have money. Chitta Sangha Chakshara Galdhar, shamelessly he will just go. Whichever, he'll go into a shop and then inquire the price. Kya models hai. He doesn't have money to purchase also, but still. Similarly, one may not have the opportunity to associate with the beloved, but hankering for that association, there is shamelessness. Shamelessly he will express. Just like the gopis also, they came out of their houses and then they were falling flat in front of Akrura's chariot to stop Krishna from going further. Shamelessness. So on a spiritual plane, all these effects are very highly exalted symptoms. But on a material plane, they are perverted reflections. So that is the seventh effect, Trapanashaha. Eighth effect is Unmada. Unmada means madness. So because of madness only they were rolling on the ground, all these women of Mathura. Ninth effect is Murcha, fainting. One will faint. They fainted also. Tenth effect is the death, becoming stunned and death. Death is called Mriti. But Mriti generally does not happen to someone who is Mriti does not happen to someone who is very exalted in spiritual plane. So, but general 10 effects of Cupid, because of that Mriti also can happen. You must have seen so many Bollywood, Tollywood, Hollywood, Mollywood, Collywood love stories where the man or woman becomes mad about all these things. All are coming from scriptures only, perverted reflections of scriptures. All these directors are big creative people. They can't invent anything beyond our scriptures. And if you don't relish what is written in scripture, you look for that pleasure that these fellows are depicting. Right? They may put a lot of action movies. Who can do more action than Krishna while killing Dhenukasur, or while killing Aghasur, or fighting with Vyomasur? So they are described here. Once we don't relish these things here, then we'll look for that kind of relishment. Nice picturization, 3D animation and all that. But this live, it happens here in Vrindavan. 15th verse. Tataha pauran prachamano dhanushahasthanamachyutaha tasmin pravishto dadrishe dhanur aindram ivadbhutam.
Lord Krishna then asked the local people where the arena was in which the bow sacrifice would take place. When he went there, he saw the amazing bow, which resembled Lord Indra's. Mm-hmm.
So then Krishna was moving forward and then asking all the Mathuravasis, so where is this bow? So worshipping him with flowers, betel nuts, scents, fruits, and milk, and placing him on a throne, the Vaishyas bowed down before Krishna. And there was a nice conversation. So at that time, there were some young boys who came to Krishna in Mathura, of the same age. Oh, new boy came to our city, so let's have friendship with him. All the boys came and then they said, boy, Krishna, they were calling Krishna, please come here, we will take and show you this bow. There is Dhanuryaga happening there. All the children just become excited, right? Whenever something great, celebration is going on. So like that, they called Krishna, and Krishna immediately made friendship with all of them. There's a natural attraction. When small two children come and then they either quarrel or they become good friends. So Krishna also has immediately made friendship with all the Mathura boys. And these people, these boys took Krishna to Dhanuryagya, the place where the bow is being displayed. 16th verse. Paurushair bahubhir guptam architam paramardhimat varyamano rabhi krishna prahasya dhanuradade.
That most opulent bow was guarded by a large company of men who were respectfully worshipping it. Krishna pushed his way forward and despite the guards' attempt to stop him, picked it up.
So Krishna picked up Krishna wanted to go to that bow. So, some guards who were guarding that, hey, who are these children coming and disturbing this sacrifice? Trying to touch the bow. They were trying to obstruct Krishna's movements towards the bow. So, Krishna had a fight with them. Krishna pushed them away. So, when Krishna wants to do something, he doesn't hesitate. So, he went towards the bow and he picked up the bow. It was like Indra's bow, rainbow, because it was very colorful, embedded with so many gems and very huge. Generally, bow is made of some wood. You take some stick and then bend it and then string it. But here, this bow is studded with so many gems and it's very costly, very expensive and very opulent. So, bow was broken as if eaten by termites when Krishna picked it up. So termites are also compared like material desires. Suddenly the devotee will be lost in practice of devotional service. Okay, 17th verse. Karena vamena salila mudhrutam sajyam chakrutva nimishena pasyatam nridam vikrishya prabha bhanja madhyato yathekshudandam madakaryu rukrama.
Easily lifting the bow with his left hand, Lord Urukrama strung it in a fraction of a second as the king's guards looked on. He then powerfully pulled the string and snapped the bow in half, just as an excited elephant might break a stalk of sugarcane.
So for an elephant, breaking a sugarcane is not a big thing. And it's a play. It takes pleasure in doing it. Right? So for an artist, playing with flowers is a sense gratification. So it doesn't take much effort on his side. But for someone who is not very artistic, just lifting one flower and then putting in one needle is a big austerity. You tell Mahabhagavata Prabhu to paint something, he goes into ecstasy. Right? Unless he is too packed with so many things. Decoration also, he goes into ecstasy. Anupam Garam, you ask him to do dressing, every day he will do. He doesn't get tired only. So like that, different people are, you are also into decoration, right? So different people have different, zeals. You tell Anantaraga Prabhu to sing, anytime he can sing. So like that, different, some things are very natural. When you like the activity, there is an excitement in doing that. Similarly, to lifting a sugar cane is such a pleasurable and natural activity for elephant that you don't have to emphasize that, you don't have to glorify it for it, glorify the elephant for it, because it's so natural. So like that, Krishna broke the bow. That means how naturally, how effortlessly he killed is being mentioned here. Someone, a small baby, toddler, 1 year, 2 year old baby, if he is bringing the sugar cane up, it's like a wrong comparison. But here he is giving the comparison of elephant. So, nimishena pasyatam. Well, the guards were watching with unblinking eyes. So, guards were just thrown away. Krishna just went inside and then picked up the bow and then broke it. And guards were like, so they were like so astonished. Right? Why this boy is coming and then doing all this? I mean, they were totally speechless. So easily, very carelessly and very effortlessly, as you nothing, like that. So Rukrama strung it in a fraction of second. Very inattentively he strung it. It's so natural for him. He doesn't have to say Hare Krishna. Now you ask someone to type. Someone who is not used to time, he will say, here is A, kidare, B, kidare, C, kidare, D, kidare. But someone who is so used to typing, he did not see the keyboard also. Baat karte karte type kar dega, document ready. So effortlessly Krishna broke this bow. And this is the first time Krishna is touching a bow. So far he only touched the vetra and venu, the flute and the stick that used to head the calves and cows. So bow he did not lift. So in Ramavatar, Krishna, Ram was trained to use bows. So it was natural for him when he was fighting with Maricha and Subahu, when he went with Vishwamitra to protect his sacrifice. But Krishna is not like that. Although apparently there is no background, in the last 10 and a half years that Krishna lifted a bow and then threw it or whatever, maybe in his play he must have done, we didn't hear much description like that. So Krishna was expert in doing it. Effortlessly he lifted it, carelessly he strung it, and without any exerting any force or pressure, he just broke it. It was so natural for him. So as if calling out, your king is worshipping this bow, and this bow broke just because of my touch. As if eaten by termites. So when termites are eating a beam, it's so weak that it cannot hold, take the load of the roof. Right? It can easily fall. People who are under that roof can any time get injuries. So like that, when termites are there, are biting a wooden roof. So like that, the bow broke. 18th verse. Dhanusho bhajyamanasyam shabdah kham rodasi dishah purayamasayam shrutva kamsastrasam upagamat.
The sound of the bows breaking filled the earth and sky in all direction. Upon hearing it, Kamsa was struck with terror.
So when the sound of the bow breaking came out, it was filling the entire antariksha, traveling through akasha. Then the sound spread to swarga and earth, rodasi. Since it spread and spread up and down because of its greatness. So Kamsa was hearing this sound, although he was in his palace. So he was instilled with fear, and in the whole world he became completely terrified of this sound. He considered that this sound indicated the cruelest destruction, and thus thought he would immediately die. So when Krishna lifted the bow, there was a beautiful comparison. Krishna was looking like a cloud. He is Meghashyama. And the bow was looking like a rainbow, because it was studded with so many gems, valuable gems of different colors. And when it broke, the sparks that came out were looking like lightning. And the cracking sound appeared like thunder. And when the rain ends, the time is bright for the devotees. So when the rain at the end of the kalpa arrives, the demons tremble. Is it not? So similarly, this bow breaking caused pleasure to the devotees and pain to the demons. So it was like cloud, then rainbow, thunder came together. It's like that. 19th verse. Tadrakshinah sanucharam kupita atatayinah grihitu kama avavrur grihyatam vadhyatamiti.
The enraged guards then took up their weapons and, wanting to seize Krishna and his companions, surrounded them and shouted, "Grab them, kill him."
So these men, they were trying to catch Krishna only to kill him. So grab him and kill him, it's like a negative meaning is given. I mean, a positive meaning for this negative statement is given. That's like, men like us are supposed to be killed. That's what it means. A different explanation. Now Kamsa, he climbed on his diamond watchtower, and from there he was looking the whole thing. So he was saying that, "What is this sound?" Then the soldier said, some of his assistants, they said that a black fellow and a white fellow went to the bow. That is Krishna and Balarama. So did they break the earth, holding up the stairs where the bow was displayed? What should I say? Let that be. Has someone casually and quickly lifted the bow with his own strength? Yes, that's what has happened. So, like that, Kamsa was wondering at the whole incident. Now, 20th verse. seeing the gods coming upon them with evil intent, Balaram and Keshava took up the two halves of the bow and began striking them down. You see that beautiful painting, Balaram and Krishna, they were beating these gods. You saw that painting, Vibhuti painting. Both of them were holding the two halves of the broken Shivadhanu. It's not here. But you can see it later. Read the next translation.
After also killing a contingent of soldiers sent by Kamsa, Krishna and Balaram left the sacrificial arena by its main gate and continued their walk about the city, happily looking at the opulent sights.
So they were happily looking at the opulent sights. So that was a pleasure. However, Krishna had something else in mind. Let's see, 22. Tayostadadbhutam viryam nishamya puravasinah tejah pragalbhyam rupam cha menire vibhudattamau.
Having witnessed the amazing deed Krishna and Balaram had performed, and seeing their strength, boldness and beauty, the people of city, though they must, thought they must be two prominent demigods.
So they were thinking that they must be demigods, like that. So the righteous people became joyful when they saw Krishna and Balaram defeating all these wicked soldiers. So seeing their beauty and courage and boldness and power, the citizens considered Krishna and Balaram to be devatas. However, when the women of Mathura came together to see Krishna, it is true that he saw their faces and simultaneously he was desiring something else also. He was looking everywhere in Mathura for the faces of gopis. So where are those simple gopis? So far he is so used to the loving glances of the gopis with such simple and innocent faces. And he was looking for that simplicity and innocence in the faces of the Mathura woman. He was searching. So it was not very easy for Krishna to come out of Vrindavan. But out of a sense of duty and responsibility he came out. So Sukadeva Goswami is not very favorable that when he was describing that Krishna came out of Vrindavan. But as a course of events he was describing. So Sukadeva Goswami is slightly not happy with what Krishna has done while he was describing. So the memories of Vrindavan were haunting Krishna and they were haunting Sukadeva Goswami also while describing. So there is every now and then there are some glimpses of Vrindavan when Krishna entered Mathura. So in the description and in Acharya's commentaries and all. So there are glorification of gopis also. You can see that. That's why this whole volume is like that. Krishna's coming out of Vrindavan is very nicely depicted in this volume. So although killing of Kamsa, Chandur, Mishtika, all this, Kavalya Pida, all these are described in the background, there the memories of gopis are like very nicely carried forward. Right. Then in the next volume, actual Mathura pastimes begin. And again, Sukadeva Goswami could not stop. Then after 1 or 2 chapters again he will start how Uddhava came to Vrindavan. And there is Bhramara Gita. So after that, the main core episodes of Dwaraka will start. Jarasandha attacking, Krishna erecting Dwaraka fort. So Mathura is so close to Vrindavan, right? And also Krishna wanted to protect all the Vrindavan Vasis from his enemies. So he cannot stay at Mathura so close. So he shifted to Dwaraka. So Krishna says like that to the gopis that I don't want you to get disturbed in Vrindavan. That's why I'm staying so away from you. Like that. 24th verse. 23rd verse. Tayor vicharatoha svairam adityostam upeyivan Krishna Ramau Vratau Gopaihi Purashak Shakatam Iyatu.
As they strolled about at will, the sun began to set, so they left the city with cowherd boys returned to the cowherd wagon's encampment.
So tayor vicharatam svairam. Svairam means svairachari, means what? One who independently carefree, he just wanders here and there. So like that all the gopas, Krishna and Balram, they were just wandering there. Svairam, at their own will. Adityo, then Krishna Rama Vratav Gopaihi. So Lord Ram took permission to string the bow, but Krishna did not. So this Svairam also indicates that, at their own will. Krishna doesn't wait for anyone's permission to string the bow or break the bow, just like Lord Ramchandra did. So he can directly go and do. So Gopaihi, not doing anything here. Next. 24th verse. Gopyo Mukunda Vigame Viraha Turaya. Ashashata Sisharata Madhupurya Bhuvan. Sampashyatam Purusha Bhushana Gatra Lakshmim. Hitvetarannu bhajatas chakameyanam shrihi. Gopyo mukunda vigame viraha turaya. Ashashata shisharita madhupurya bhuvan. Sampashyatam purusha bhushana gatra lakshmim. Hitvetarannu bhajatas chakameyanam shrihi.
At the time of Mukunda's Krishna departure from Vrindavan, the gopis had foretold that the residents of Mathura would enjoy many benedictions. And now the gopis' predictions were coming true. For those residents were gazing upon the beauty of Krishna, the jewel among men. Indeed, the goddess of fortune desired the shelter of that beauty so much that she abandoned many other men, although they worshipped her.
As I just said, Sukadeva Goswami was also overwhelmed with the same emotional state as the gopis. Gopis were so affected when Krishna came out of Vrindavan. Similarly, Sukadeva Goswami was also affected. He was not very happy. So he was overcome with sorrow and he was regularly remembering the gopis. So now he is describing that all the Mathuravasis are having this great fortune of seeing Krishna only because of the blessing of the gopis that they gave in the 39th chapter when Krishna was going with Akrura. So gopyo mukunda vigame. Mukunda Vigami means when Krishna was going out of Vrindavan, departing from there. Virahaturaya, they were in the anxiety of separation from Krishna. Ashashashita. So Ashashata means they had spoken. What they spoke? Asishaha. Ashashata Asishaha. They have spoken some benedictory words. It's not, in the course of their lamentation, in the feelings of separation, they just said, yeah, today all the Mathuravasis, the next morning all the Mathuravasis will have a great celebration of seeing Krishna. So those blessings of, those benedictions of the gopis are becoming true now. Asashata, Asishata Rita, Madhupuri Abhuvan, Madhupuri, the residents of Mathura. So sampashyatam purusha bhushana gatra lakshmim. Sampashyatam, they are able to see whom? Purusha bhushana, the ornament of all men. Gatra lakshmim. Gatra is body, lakshmi is beauty. So the physical beauty of Krishna is being perceived by all the Mathuravasis only because of the prediction of the gopis. Now you may say that Krishna is going to Mathura, people will see there. Where is gopis' blessing here? On top of it, they were only lamenting behind. But Sukadeva Goswami's perception is totally different. Our mundane logic may say something else. Isme kya bada baat hai? Unnecessarily, they're zooming into it. Sukadeva Goswami says, only because they said it has become true. Like that. So these things cannot be understood by mundane logic. This morning also I was working on Chaitanya Subodhini. There Prabhupada writes one statement. Ramananda Rai's discussion. So all these things cannot be understood, the conversation between Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or any of these emotional exchanges between the Lord and his dear devotees, they cannot be understood by mundane logicians, by their material intelligence and logic and reasoning. The Phalashruti of this whole Samvada, the conversation, is by logic and without faith, you cannot understand. You should have faith. That finer feelings one should be able to relate with, then only they will have some understanding. Simple intellectual analysis is not sufficient, or it's not even relevant when it comes to the understanding of such great exalted subject matters. So, Purusha Bhushana Gatra Lakshmim Hitvetarannu Bhajatas Chakame Yanam Shrihi. All the beauty of the three worlds is there in Krishna's body, and they are able to see all the Mathuravasis. So, indeed the goddess of fortune desired the shelter of that beauty so much that she abandoned many other men, although they worshipped her. Na shrir viraktim apimam vijahati yasya prekshalavartha itare niyaman vahanti. You remember this verse from the third canto? So Shri had so many people who are worshipping her, who are desiring her, but rejecting all of them. Even in Lakshmi Swayamvar in Samudramanthan episode also, she was analyzing for the qualities of so many people, and finally she chose Narayana. So he is Purusha Bhushana Gatra Lakshmi. There he is Parampadam Bhushana Bhushanangam. He is the ornament of all ornaments. Avaniktangri Yugalau Bhuktva Kshiro Apashechanam Ushatuhutam Sukham Ratrim Natvakam Sachikirshitam.
After Krishna's and Krishna and Balaram's feet were bathed, the two lords ate rice with milk. Then, although knowing what Kamsa intended to do, they spent night there comfortably.
So, for the previous verse, Jiva Goswami quotes some verses. Shri Riyat Padambuja Rajas Chagame Tulasya Labdhvapa Yvakshasi Padam Kila Bhritya Bhusushtam. So, you can go through Jiva Goswami's commentary of 24th verse. It's very interesting. Many verses are quoted relevant here. So 25th verse, you can see, after Krishna and Balaram's feet were bathed, they ate rice with milk. So now in the afternoon they went to see things. As soon as they came to Mathura, they took permission from Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj said, "Thoda jaldi dekhe aa jao, so don't spend so much time. Understand that this is Kamsa's place." But he went and killed one washerman. Then he met some devotees and Kubja, and he had some nice exchanges with Kubja. As soon as he came, Krishna cannot keep quiet. There is a revolution. Krishna's presence is very strongly felt by entire Mathura because of all the activities that he has done. He has covered the whole thing. When someone comes into a place, so their presence is strongly felt by the entire assembly. What to speak of Krishna. So after he killed the washerman and he killed some guards who were guarding the sacrificial bow, and he came as a visitor, as a guest to see the sacrifice, and he broke the main bow which is being worshipped in the sacrifice. So what else you can expect? He created sufficient havoc and disturbance in the Mathura. So after coming here, he was happily eating milk, rice with milk, mixed with sugar. So, because they knew that Krishna and Balaram would be, Krishna and Balaram, they knew that Kamsa would be killed the next day. tomorrow we'll kill Kamsa, today we kill these fellows, so tomorrow we'll kill that fellow also. Done, matter closed. That's why they're able to happily take milk and rice, which Yashodamayi had packed in the morning. So, this milk came from Krishna's favorite Vrindavan cows. Krishna had some cows also, which are very favorite. So, from that milk, Yashodamayi had sent. Right? So, and these Vraja cows with 1 year old calves. That is also very specifically mentioned. Yashodamayi had packed that milk along with rice. It was fresh till the evening. So, they ate that. So, although they killed some people, still they just washed their feet. After killing, even without taking a full bath, full body bath, they started eating. So you killed few people and at least you should take some bath, right? But Krishna is beyond this rules and regulations of cleanliness. He's always clean. So that superficial dharma he did not follow. So he came directly ate prasad. Then although knowing that Kamsa intended to do this, they spent the night comfortably. But although Krishna and Balaram were sleeping comfortably, Nanda Maharaj could not sleep comfortably. And Kamsa also could not sleep comfortably. Kamsa was so fearful because his death was nearing. All his plans failed. He had sent Keshi and Vyoma, that failed. And he has organized this Dhanuryaga to kill Krishna and Balaram. So now the Dhanus itself was broken. And he killed some washermen and so many other people, guards. So only few astras left with Kamsa. They are his five wrestlers: Chanura, Mushtika, Shala, Toshala, Kota, and one more elephant, Kavalyapeda. So beyond these six astras, only he himself is remaining. So if Krishna can cross these six, then Kamsa will be killed. So you see, to win a game, video game, right, you have to cross something, get some points, right? So Krishna is getting that points now. Tak, 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 tak. He is keeping collecting so many points and then finally he is in front of Kamsa. So Kamsa is feeling so insecure now. So Nanda Maharaj could not sleep at all, entire night, because oh, my children broke this bow, sacrificial bow. What will Kamsa do tomorrow? Will he give warning or beat them or kill them or what exactly? So now Krishna Balaram slept happily, but Nanda Maharaj could not sleep happily. Kamsa also could not sleep happily. So if you are categorizing those who slept happily, one list, those who did not sleep happily, second list. So Kamsa and Nanda Maharaj are apparently in one list. But their mood and motivation and their emotion are not same. So Nanda Maharaj could not sleep because he was worrying about the protection of Krishna and Balaram. And Kamsa could not sleep because he was worrying about his own protection from Krishna and Balaram. The emotions are totally different. So one's activity may match with someone else, but their emotions were different. So devotee who is serving Krishna, sometimes he also may not be able to sleep peacefully because of the anxiety of service. On the other hand, somebody else may be sleeping very peacefully. 26th verse. Kamsastu dhanusho bhangam rakshinam swabalasya cha vadham nishamya govinda Rama vikriditam param dirgha prajagaro bhito durnimittani durmatihi bahunyacha shtobhayatha mrityor dautya karanicha.
Wicked King Kamsa, on the other hand, was terrified. Having heard how Krishna and Balaram had broken the bow and killed his guards and soldiers, all simply as a game, he remained awake for a long time, and both while awake and while dreaming, he saw many bad women, messengers of death.
Mm. From here, there's a long list of the inauspicious omens that Kamsa perceived. Adrishtam svashirasaham pratirupe cha satyapi asatyapi dvitiyecham dvayirupam jyotisham tatha adarshyantam svashirasaha pratirupe cha satyapi. He goes in front of the mirror, Kamsa goes in front of the mirror and he sees the mirror and he doesn't see his face. Face is not there. He is seeing his body only up to this point. And how he is seeing, we don't know. Like that's like that example is the 3.7 way. So he could not see. Although Satya may be, his head is there. He is able to see. Right? Head is there. He is touching his head, but he is unable to see the reflection in the mirror. Next, asatyapi dvitiyecha dvayi rupam jyotisham tatha. Then, although it is not true, his shadow appear double. Right? For no reason, the moon and stars are appearing double. So two moons there. So he is wondering. Then, chidra pratitaha chayayam. So, chidra pratitaha chayayam means in his shadow, there is a hole. Shadow mein hole rahta hai kabhi. So, it's like that. He was seeing like that. Prana Ghoshanu Pashrutihi. And he could not hear the sound of his prana, life air. Next, Shravana Pratair Vrikeshu Svapadanam Adarshanam. Then he could not hear the sound of his life air. Trees seemed covered with a golden hue, and he could not see his footprints. Svapadanam Adarshanam. Then he dreamt that he was being embraced by ghosts, riding on a donkey and drinking poison, and also that a naked man smeared with oil was passing by wearing a garland of Nalada flowers. Seeing these and other such omens, both while dreaming and while awake, Kamsa was terrified by the prospect of death, and out of anxiety, he could not sleep. So this was the situation of Kamsa. So when the night had finally passed and the sun rose up again from the water, Kamsa set about arranging the grand drizzling festival. So Kamsa was wandering at the feet of Krishna and Balram in Mathura, and he wanted to, he went to the drizzling arena to see how the arrangements were being made. Then he gave orders to the people, you put these decorations nicely, make the galleries and chairs properly, all that he was telling. So now, 33rd verse. Anarchu purusharangam turyabheryascha janghire manchascha alankritah sragbhihi Pataka chaila toranaihi.
The king's men performed the ritual worship of the wrestling arena, sounded their drums and other instruments, and decorated the wing galleries with garlands, flags, ribbons, and arches.
So the decorations of the wrestling arena are described here. So at this point, Kamsa spoke to the wrestlers, Chanur and Mushtik. And if you remember, if you remember all my previous felicitations, just do one important work today. My important work. So I have treated you very nicely so far. So now it's the time for you to reciprocate. It's the time for you to express your gratitude towards me, Kamsa. So these two cowherd boys, Krishna and Balaram, they never seem to be tired. They killed so many demons there, and they came here, and then they broke my bow, they killed my washerman, they killed so many of my guards. So I'm very much worried about them. So I'm very much dependent on you for their killing. So please do the needful. So then he went forward. Then he met Mahamatra. Mahamatra is the title given to an elephant keeper. So this Mahamatra was taking care of Kavalaya Pida. So Kamsa told Kavalaya Pida, this Mahamatra, that Narada Muni spoke about my birth from this demon named Drumila. I already narrated that story. So he narrated the whole, his birth secret to Drumila, to Mahamatra, and said that, see, my parents are not actually my parents. My father is not actually my father. And I am being treated so badly by all these people. I am under death threat since more than 10 years, 11 years. So there is no protection, any protection from my people's side. So only you can protect me. Take care of your elephant nicely. Put the elephant at the entrance only and kill Balram, Krishna and Balram. Although I have arranged this entire elaborate wrestling arena, apparently inviting Krishna and Balram, I never wanted them to come there. I wanted them to die before they come there only. So you have to do the needful. Like that Kamsa was begging this Mahamatra for his own life. 34th verse. Garga Samhita, Harivamsha. But all of them are gone, na? He has to depend on these fellows only. Only stock khatam ho gaya. Stock finished. 34. Teshu Paura Janapata Brahmakshatra Purogamaha यथोपजोषं विविशु राजानस्य कृतासनः.
The city dwellers and residents of the outlying districts led by Brahmanas and Kshatriyas came and sat down comfortably in the galleries. The royal guests received special seats.
So the rest of the chapter is a description of Kamsa's place. The gallery, the pavilion, all that. So where Akrura was sitting, where Vasudeva was sitting. Kamsa made Akrura and Vasudeva sit there because he was worried about their sentiments and actions, which were similar to Devaki's. So Devaki entered the women's pavilion because she was anxious for her son. She did not enter the pavilion of the palace woman because she did not like Kamsa. Devaki was not sitting at a certain place. Then the pavilion of Kamsa facing east was well constructed and shone like the peak of Meru. It had pillars shining like golden yantras and was decorated with pictures. His pavilion, suitable for living, decorated with garlands, shone with the highest beauty. Like that, the lot of description is given. Read 35. Translation.
Surrounded by his ministers, Kamsa took his seat on the imperial dais. But even as he sat amidst his various provincial rulers, his heart trembled.
Although a lot of protection and elaborate arrangement is made, the heart is filled with fear. So we need to understand the external comforts are not sufficient for one to be happy. There should be an internal satisfaction. Internally, one should be content with his situation. Then only there is happiness. So external circumstances and facilities and opulences, they are only a detail. So Kamsa is apparently the center of attraction of this entire pavilion where thousands and thousands of people were sitting. He has made such huge stadium and he is in the midst of the assembly. But he was filled with fear. Just in a matter of a few minutes, he would be killed. So he is, now situation is very opulent and very gorgeous thing is going on, but we don't know. In a moment, we may be out of the scene. So one should hold on to something very permanent than these external things. Because externally one may be elevated to such a high position, but internally if he is not content and if he is not holding to something superior, something higher power, then they will be ruined. Time will reveal, just a matter of time before they fall off. On the other hand, in this entire wrestling arena, which is erected by Kamsa and his men, Devaki was so morosely sitting there. Vasudeva was so morosely sitting there. Akrura was also very sad. So now, lot of celebration was going on, but internally these three devotees and many other devotees, they were undergoing so much of turmoil. So, it's just a matter of time before they come out of the turmoil and then enter an arena of great jubilation. Right? So, why this happened? Because they held on to something permanent. They were having love for Krishna. And those people, Kamsa and other people, they were having lot of inimical feelings towards Krishna. So, when someone does not hold on to Krishna, now he may be happy. Now all these wrestlers and Kavalaya Pida and other ministers and other demoniac people, associates of Kamsa, they were quite well situated in this context. They were very happy currently. But their happiness will be smashed in few minutes. Right? So one cannot perpetually be happy without keeping Krishna in the center. And one's unhappiness, although he is keeping Krishna in the center, cannot perpetually remain unhappiness only. Krishna will make it happiness. Right? So whether in happiness or unhappiness, your ultimate happiness depends on your connection with Krishna, not with anything else. So one cannot be swayed away by temporary circumstances. One should have that deep maturity and determination to hold on to Krishna's lotus feet. So 37th verse. 36, read the translation.
While the musical instruments loudly played in the rhythmic meters appropriate for wrestling matches, the lavishly ornamented wrestlers proudly entered the arena with their coaches and sat down.
Next.
Enthused by the pleasing music, Chanur, Mushtik, Kuta, Shala and Toshala sat down on the wrestling mat.
Next.
Nand Maharaj and the other cowherds, summoned by the king of the Bhojas, presented him with their offerings and then took their seats in one of the galleries.
So, not waiting from them to come on their own, he sent some affectionate, closely related cowherd men to protect them and teach proper behavior. So, Nanda Maharaj and other cowherds went to Kamsa when Kamsa called them, and they presented offerings. And Kamsa very diplomatically said that, "Oh, where are your sons? Where are those boys, Krishna and Balaram? Yeah, don't worry, ask them to come to the wrestling arena. Don't worry that I will punish them because they have done some mischief yesterday. So, but you should warn them, you should teach them proper behavior." So with a lot of fear in his heart, Kamsa is very diplomatically, externally saying all this. Call them here. Call them here so that I can kill them. Or call them here so that while they are coming on the way, they can be killed by Kavalaya Pida. That was his internal intention. But externally, very diplomatically, he is saying like that. So I will not punish them, don't worry, that for whatever they have done yesterday. So I invited them because I have heard that they are so powerful. That's why I have arranged this wrestling match, just to test their power. So call them. So he was actually waiting for their death, being fearful of his death. Okay. Now Sukadeva Goswami is continuing. Sri Shuka Uvacha Atha Krishnascha Ramascha Krita Shauchau Parantapa Malladundubhi Nirghosham Shrutva Drashtum Upeyatuhu.
Shukadeva Goswami said, "O chastiser of enemies, Krishna and Balaram, having executed all necessary purification, then heard the kettle drum resounding at the wrestling arena and they went there to see what was happening."
So Krishna and Balaram, they went towards the wrestling arena. So without telling Nanda Maharaj and other elder Gopas who came to Mathura, Krishna and Balaram just went, and they went to Yamuna to take bath, Yamuna bank with the Gopas, and they heard the drums and all, and they said, oh, let's go there. So Krishna and Balaram, they are bindas, they are in their own ecstasy, right? They were looking here and there. Oh, the drums, when they heard the drums from the wrestling arena, okay, let's go there. So, 2 days previously, Krishna and Balaram had executed their purification. Thus, relief, their relief from their offense. Even after we have made our power known by breaking the bow and by performing other feats, our parents have still not secured freedom. Kamsa is again trying to kill them. Therefore, although he is our maternal uncle, it will not be wrong for us to kill him. So let's go and kill Kamsa. They were thinking like that. So when Krishna reached the entrance of the arena, he saw an elephant, Kavalayapida, blocking his way at the urging of his keeper. Mahamatra told the elephant, you be here, and block the way. So this Kavalayapida was the son of Bali Maharaj, called Mandagati in his previous life. Mandagati. His name was Mandagati, son of Bali Maharaj. So once he went to Srirangam to take darshan of the deity there, and he was moving in such a way that he doesn't care for people. So one says, his name is Trita, so he cursed him. You are moving like an elephant, not caring for anyone. Elephant does not just, when someone is moving, it doesn't go like that. Not like that. Elephant doesn't care, it just walks like that. And you have to move aside. So you are, although you are thinking that I am majestically walking, you are walking like an elephant. Better you become an elephant. So he cursed him like that. So, but after the curse, he later told that you will actually be killed by the Supreme Lord, Krishna. So then, in the next birth, this Mandagati took birth as Kavalayapida, and he was in the camp of Jarasandha. Kavalayapida was originally in the camp of Jarasandha, and once this Kavalayapida left the camp of Jarasandha and went to Kamsa's camp for whatever reason. Then Kamsa said, what is this new elephant coming here? Just picked up the elephant and threw it 80 miles. And Jarasandha was very much pleased. This fellow has such huge strength. Kamsa was so strong that he could lift Kavalayapida and throw it 80 miles. Like this, 8 feet. 8 feet, nahi, 80 miles. Then he was so impressed. And Jarasandha gave him his daughters. Asti and Prapti, right? So Kamsa's wives. So Jarasandha's daughters were married to Kamsa when Kavalayapida was defeated by or thrown away by Kamsa. Thus, Kavalayapida was instrumental in the marriage of Kamsa. So now this instrument of that marriage is being engaged to protect his own life, Kamsa's life. Next, third verse. Read the third verse. Translation.
Securely binding up his clothes and tying back his curly locks, Lord Krishna addressed the elephant keeper with words as grave as the rumbling of a cloud.
So securely binding up his clothes and tying back his curly locks. Why tying back his curly locks? Obviously he was preparing for a fight. As soon as he saw the elephant not moving from his entrance, he was ready to fight. Just because the elephant is not moving, I will not find some other entrance. I want to go in this way only. Remove this fellow from here. He just tied his cloth and tied his... Because when he was fighting, his curly locks may block his face. Right? When he does like that, all this silk may come on his face. So he just tied them very tightly so that they don't disturb. So the Lord put aside his jacket, shirt, tightened his belt and tied back his hair. So, next, tied back his hair, how? Under his turban. The hair was nicely tucked behind his turban so that the hair may not come out. Because he doesn't have a haircut like us. not even this, not the regular people also with some hair like this much. So Krishna has locks just falling off the shoulders also, very long hairs. So they will disturb him. So he tied them under his turban. And so tied up upper cloth around his head. His uttariya he just tied on his head. So it's proper to bind his locks. That way, fourth way, fourth verse. Ambashtambashta margam nau dehyapakrama machiram nochetsa kunjaram tvadya nayamiyama sadhanam.
O driver, driver, move aside at once and let us pass. If you don't, this very day, I will send both you and your elephant to the abode of Yamaraj.
So you move aside, and if you don't move aside, I will send you to Yamasadhanam. Yamasadhanam means the abode of Yamaraj. And Yamasadhanam can also mean, Yama means mind control. Yama, Niyama and all this, you know, right? So Yama is mind control. Sadhanam means attaining. So what will you attain by controlling your mind? Liberation. So if you don't move aside, I will give you liberation. That's what Krishna said. You want to be liberated or you want to live here? So I want to be liberated. Okay, I'll liberate you. That's what Krishna did. So Krishna's killing also means favor. So ambashta ambashta means, oh elephant keeper, oh elephant keeper. Margam naho dehi. Please give us the path so that we can move forward. So Krishna addressed the elephant keeper twice. Basically he was showing his anger and determination to fight with the elephant. So saying once is sufficient. Why some people will say twice? Either they are so excited, happy or very angry. Esamatkar, bolo na. So like that they kind of, two times they say the same thing. Not needed, ek bar bas. So, next, fifth verse. Evam nirbharshito bhashtaham kupitaha kopitam gajam chodayamasa krishnaya kalantakayamopamam.
The threatened, the elephant keeper became angry. He goaded his furious elephant, who appeared equal to time, death and Yamaraj, into attacking Lord Krishna.
So elephant keeper became angry. Oh, Yamasadhanam, you are telling me that I will go to Yamaraj. I am here only to send you to Yamaraj. Because he was nicely trained by Kamsa, right? And Kamsa very fervently requested him, please do the needful so that your elephant can kill Krishna and Balaram. So now he said, he goaded his furious elephant who appeared equal to time, death and Yamaraj. Kalantaka yamopamam. Kavalaya Pida is compared to Kala, time. Antaka, death. Yama. Yama is Yamaraj. Upamam means as if equal to. See the last line of this verse. Kalantaka yamopamam. However, although elephant is appearing like Kala, Krishna is master of Kala. Is it not? So he is greater than elephant. Antaka. Krishna can cause the ultimate annihilation. Yamopamam. Krishna is the master of Yamaraj also. So although elephant is like Kalantaka Yamopamam, Krishna is the master of all three. Elephant cannot do anything to Krishna. So elephant driver cannot cause any harm to Krishna. So next, sixth verse. So Sukadeva Goswami is basically comforting Parikshit Maharaj, just like he comforted Parikshit Maharaj in the beginning of the Putana Leela. Putana is coming. Putana is coming. Then Parikshit Maharaj felt that, hey, Putana is coming. What will happen to Krishna now? He got into the mood. Then to encourage him and to pacify him, he said, no, Nayatra Sravanadini Rakshognani Swakarmashu. Whoever is worshipping Krishna, when such people are staying, all these Yatudhani and other people cannot exert their force. He said, right, to encourage Parikshit Maharaj. same thing he is doing like that. Although elephant is kalantaka yamopamam, but Krishna is master of time, Krishna will not be affected by Kolayapida. The lord of the elephants charged Krishna and violently seized him with his trunk, but Krishna slipped away, struck him a blow and disappeared from his view amongst his legs. Because Krishna was so small, this 10-11 year old boy, and elephant's feet are like big pillar, he is just hiding behind it. And elephant with these small eyes, and look here, kidhar gaya bacha. So he was just searching everywhere. So Krishna struck the elephant with a fist and then disappeared amongst his legs. A 10-year-old boy just striking like this, what will happen to elephant? Nothing will happen, but elephant is like trembling. So Krishna very skillfully escaped from the elephant without putting his garland or cloth to dismay. So his cloth is not disarrayed, his garland is not disarrayed, he's so nice. You can see the Pushkar painting. So Krishna with a garland nicely, and then elephant coming there. Okay, next. Seventh verse. Sankruddhastam achakshanam grahanadrishtihe grahanadrishtisakeshavam paramshrat pushkarena paramrishat pushkarena saprahasya vinirgataha.
Infuriated at being unable to see Lord Keshava, the elephant sought him out with his sense of smell. Once again, Kaulyapida seized the Lord with the end of his trunk, only to have the Lord forcefully free himself.
This painting. It's there in the book. Kaulyapida. So Krishna allowed the elephant to seize him, so that the beast would be encouraged to keep on fighting. Ek slab and then mar gaya, maja nahi, oh fighting mein. So Krishna gives a chance to the opponent to play for some time, and after playing, then he will kill. And then, Pucche pragrihyati balam, dhanushaha panchavismitam, panchavimshitam, vachakarsha yatha nagam, suparna ivalilaya.
Lord Krishna then grabbed the powerful Kaulyapida by the tail and playfully dragged him 25 bow lengths as easily as Garuda might drag a snake.
100 bow lengths or 100 hastas or 25 bow lengths. Continue.
As Lord Achyuta held on to elephant's tail, the animal tried to twist away to the left and to the right, making the Lord shiver in the opposite directions, as a young boy would shiver when pulling a calf by the tail.
Go ahead.
Krishna then came face to face with the elephant and slapped him and ran away. Kaulyapida pursued the Lord, managing to touch him again and again with each step. But Krishna auto-maneuvered the elephant and made him trip and fall. As Krishna dodged about, he playfully fell on the ground and quickly got up again. The raging elephant, thinking Krishna was down, tried to gore him with his tusks, but struck the earth instead. His prowess foiled, the lordly elephant Kaulyapida went into a frenzied rage out of frustration. But the elephant keepers goaded him on, and he furiously charged Krishna once again.
So this Kunjara Indraha, the lord of all elephants, naturally that elephant is very furious. So that fury increased because of being defeated by this boy. And on top of it, the elephant keeper Mahamatra is like goading the elephant, oh, move ahead, kill him, like that. So Krishna was just passing time so far, just to play with this elephant. Now he understood that time was passing. So now let me kill this fellow. So he prepared his mind to kill the elephant, and he said, the Supreme Lord, killer of demon Madhu, confronted the elephant as he attacked. Seizing his trunk with one hand, Krishna threw him to the ground. So, next. Then there are seven other people. So Krishna and Balram then in both directions. Seven elephant trainers came to the rescue of this elephant. So many elephant trainers are there. They came. What happened to elephant? It just fell down like that. Next. Pratitasya padakramya mrigendra ivalilaya dantam utpatya te nebham hastipam chahanadharihi.
Lord Hari then climbed onto the elephant with the ease of a mighty lion, pulled out a tusk, and with it killed the beast and his keepers. Mm-hmm.
So Krishna killed and then pulled the tusk of the elephant. So Krishna and Balaram, you see that painting? They have the tusks of the elephant. Mm-hmm. With that also they will just fight. So Hari, the word Hari is here, according to Jiva Goswami. Hari means one who takes away everything. Hari can also mean lion. So here Krishna is called Hari because he took away the life of the elephant. Or he assumed the form of a lion, Hari, to kill the elephant. Sometimes there is a fight between elephant and lion, and the lion will be victorious. So then the effulgent of Kavalyapida's dead body came and then entered Krishna. So Balaramji took the tusks, and Krishna and Balaram attacked the trainees with these tusks. And some of them just ran away. As soon as a lion is seen, the deer will run away, right? Similarly, when the other elephant trainers saw Krishna and Balaram, they also ran away. Mritakam dvibam utsrujyam dantapani hisama vishat amshanyasta vinashosrun madabandhuhiran kitaham virudhasveda kanika vadanam buruho babhau.
Leaving the dead elephant aside, Lord Krishna held on to the tusk and entered the wrestling arena. With the tusk resting on his shoulder, drops of elephant's blood and sweat sprinkled all over him, and his lotus face covered with fine drops of his own perspiration, the Lord shone with great beauty.
So even when his body was sprinkled with the blood of the elephant, he was carrying the tusk of the elephant, while Krishna is appearing like an epitome of Virarasa, still he was appearing very beautiful. So when someone is showing such great chivalrous mood, means the beauty is not very much highlighted or recognized. His emotion of being furious is only recognized prominently. But whenever the Lord becomes furious, or then he kills some demons, still his beauty is described several times. Narasimhadeva killed Hiranyakashipu. Then his beauty is described. How beautiful he is looking. Naham vibhim yajitateti bhayanakasya jehvarka netra bhrukuti rabhasogra damshtrat antrasrajah kshataja keshara shinkhu karna nirghata bhata tigibhat aribhinna khagrat. So Narasimhadeva was appearing so beautiful with the garland of intestines. Antrasrajah, not vanyasrajah. Vanyasrajah is garland of forest flowers. Antrasraja means the garland of intestines. And like that, his bloody mane and his wedge-like ears and his frightening eyes and then his jaws and his teeth. Like he was looking very furious. But naham bibhemi, Prahlad Maharaj, 5-year-old boy, says, I am not afraid only. You are looking so beautiful to me. Oh, it's wonderful. Like that. Although here Krishna is appearing like that, still he was looking beautiful only. So now Krishna is appearing to be perspiring here. Acharyas say that it is impossible for such transformations like perspiration to occur on the body of Satchidananda, Krishna. So they appear and disappear according to his leelas. So although Krishna is perspiring here, that perspiration is not similar to our perspiration in May and April. This perspiration is totally different. So Krishna was walking like an intoxicated elephant. So then Lord Baladeva and Lord Janardana, each carrying one of the elephant tusks as his chosen weapon, entered the arena with several cowherd boys. So Krishna is not holding his regular weapon of Sudarshana Chakra or Komodaki Gada or Shangya Dhanva. None of the weapons are there. He just picked up, he killed one elephant and took the tusk, and this is my weapon now. Come for fight. Like that. So same thing all the elephants, monkeys were doing in Ram's army. They did not have any sophisticated weapons like lances and then maces and other things that the Rakshasa party of Ravana had. They were just picking up some mountain peaks and some boulders and some trees, plucking some trees and then throwing on the opposite party. Although they were monkeys, they were not so well trained in the military art, that they did not have even sophisticated weapons or astras. So monkey, you don't see monkey just throwing all this astra. That does not happen, or throwing lances. It just picks up some stone and then throws on you. Still, there was victory on the side of Ramachandra. So here Krishna chose this weapon of elephant tusk and entered the wrestling arena. Mallanam Asharnindranam Naravarastrinam Smaro Murtiman. Gopanam Swajano Satam Kshitibhujam Shasta Swapitro Shishuhum. Mrityor Bhojapater Virada Vidusham Tattvam Param Yoginam. Vrishninam Paradevateti Vidito Rangam Gatah Sagrajah. Mallanam Ashanirnam Naravarastrinam Smaro Murtiman. Gopanam Swajano Satam Kshitibhujam Shasta Swapitro Shishuhum. Mrityor Bhojapater Virada Vidusham Tattvam Param Yoginam. Vrishninam Paradevateti Vidito Rangam Gatah Sagraja. Mallanam Ashanir. All these mallas, the wrestlers like Chanura, Toshala, Shala, Toshala, Kuta, Mushtika, all these people. So Mallanam, for all these wrestlers, Krishna was appearing like Ashanir, thunderbolt. Because all these mallas, the wrestlers were having bodies like mountains. Indra's thunderbolt is known to smash mountains. So Krishna is appearing like thunderbolt on these mountain-like bodies of the wrestlers. Mallanam Ashanir, lightning bolt or thunderbolt. So although Krishna has soft, sweet, cooling limbs, his tender lotus feet would be affected even by touching the softest part of gopis' bodies. And Lord Ramachandra's tender feet would not bear the touch of Mother Sita's lotus-like palms also. They would become red. Such are the delicate lotus feet of Rama or Krishna. That's how they were described. But such Ramachandra was walking in the forest of Dandakaranya without even slippers. And now such Krishna is coming into the wrestling arena where all these mountain-like wrestlers are waiting to just come upon him and kill him. It's not a match. But although Krishna is so butter, soft like butter, and pravala, mrudu, like a newly grown leaf, still he can appear like thunderbolt upon the mountain-like bodies of these wrestlers. So, though sugar candy is sweet, it tastes bitter to one who has jaundice. Similarly, although Krishna is so soft and sweet, he appeared like thunderbolt to all these wrestlers. Like that. So, though Krishna's form was seen by the wrestlers and similarly inclined spectators there, they did not taste the real form of Krishna, the swarupa of Krishna, but rather experienced rasa abhas. They did not experience rasa, they only experienced rasa abhas. Because appearing like thunderbolt is not a part of Krishna's swarupa. In this verse, there are 10 categories of people who perceived Krishna are described. So all of them are experiencing certain rasas or rasa abhasas. So all their perceptions are not a part of Krishna's swarupa. That is only because of the disposition of the viewers. There are some perceptions, some visions that some of these categories of people had. They were a part of Krishna's swarupa. For example, the mothers were looking at Krishna like a child, and Vrishnis were looking at Krishna as the worshipable deity, and women were looking at Krishna like Cupid personified. They were all part of Krishna's swarupa. But being a thunderbolt is not part of Krishna's swarupa. Right? So why they are perceiving? Because they were in krodha sthayi bhava. Sthayi bhava are like the emotions of any person in relationship with Krishna. But their sthayi bhava is not like madhurya and other things. They were having krodha as their sthayi bhava. So, because of the krodha or anger of all these wrestlers, Krishna was appearing like a thunderbolt. So, they were in raudra rasa, fury. Second, mallana mashanir, ranam naravaram. Ranam means all the regular citizens of Mathura, other than the parents. So, and even some wicked people also. Other than parents and the wicked people, regular citizens, they were seeing Krishna as Naravaraha. Nidam Naravaraha. Naravara means best of all males, best of all Naras. For the public of Mathura, who were endowed with general prema, so Krishna was appearing like this. So, they don't have envy, they don't have any other unfavorable elements. He appeared to them like best of all men, with pure sattva in his heart, with the best form, with the best qualities and pastimes, most astonishing to the human society. So these people, general citizens, they were in adbhutarasa. Their vismaya is their sthayi bhava. So because of their vismaya, their adbhuta, their astonishment upon seeing Krishna, they were seeing Krishna as naravaraha, best of all males. They were astonished. Oh, wow. Like that. So, Nvallana Mashanir, that is what? The Raudra Rasa. Wrestlers are seeing Krishna as thunderbolt, they are in Raudra Rasa. Their sthayi bhava is Krodha. And the citizens of Mathura were seeing Krishna as the Naravaraha, best of all males, they were in Vismaya Rasa, they were in Adbhuta Rasa, their sthayi bhava is Vismaya. Four things you need to remember. One, the category of people. Second, how they are seeing Krishna. Third, their rasa. Four, if possible, their sthayi bhava, their mood, their emotion. Next, strinam smaro murtiman. All the stris. Stri means ladies. They were seeing Krishna as smaro murtiman. Cupid has come here in person. Cupid personified. So without any trace of material lust, since they were full of prema, they were seeing Krishna as Cupid. So this lust is not like material lust. By mentioning that Krishna was Murtiman, we need to understand that he is a person. Otherwise, why Murtiman is mentioned? It indicates that all the other realizations are angas of his Swarupa. Murtiman, he is person. So all the other realizations or perceptions are part of Krishna Swarupa. So these people are in Sringara Rasa, conjugal attraction. And their Sringara Rasa, or it's also called Ujjvala Rasa. So for them, that is Priyata, Priyata Sthai Bhav. Priyata. Priyata means the prema, to love. So Priyata, dearness. That is their Thai Bhav. Then fourth category of people. Gopanam Svajano. Gopanam means all the Gopas, cowherd men who came to Mathura along with Krishna. They were seeing Krishna as Svajana. He's our relative, our man. Right? So they were experiencing Krishna Swarupa. They are seeing only friendliness in Krishna. And seeing Krishna with unrestricted hearts in this extraordinary costume decorated with elephant blood and they were experiencing Sakhya Rasa. Gopas are in Sakhya Rasa. And their Sthai Bhava is Hasa. Hasa Sthai Bhava, laughter. When there is friendship, you just sit with the friend and then laugh. And you had many other exchanges also, but lot of jokes happen between friends. Such kind of jokes may not happen between parents and son. But between friends there are so many jokes, and then they will start laughing at each other and some. So that is their sthai bhava, hasa, hasya rasa. Asatam kshiti bhujam. Kshiti bhujam means, kshiti means what? Earth. Kshiti bhujam means the master of earth. They are kings. What kind of kings? Asatam kshiti bhujam. They are bad kings, demoniac kings, impious rulers. So asatam kshiti bhujam, what they are seeing? How they are seeing Krishna? Shasta. Shasta means chastiser, dandadhara. Someone who chastises you. Someone who punishes you when you do something mystic. So, but this perception of Krishna is not an eternal fact. Krishna chastising someone is not in his Swarupa. Is not a part of his Swarupa, but Swarupa, although he displays that kind of mood sometimes. For example, mother may slap the child, but that slap means that requires some anger some unfavorable intent, etc. But ultimately, deep within her heart, mother is not holding anything malicious towards her child. So that's a temporary manifestation. That anger towards child is a temporary manifestation of mother. Similarly, chastisement is not a permanent part of Krishna's Swarupa. So this form of Krishna as a chastiser or a destroyer or a killer or a punisher or a dandadhara or a shasta is not a part of his Swarupa, who is embodiment of all bliss and friendship. Like the Rizalers, they saw Krishna as thunderbolt. They did not see Krishna's real Swarupa. This Asatam Kshiti Bhujam, the impious rulers also did not see Krishna as their well-wisher, or they were in a different mood. And that mood is Raudra Rasa or Veera Rasa, chivalry. Their Sthai Bhava is also called Raudra Sthai Bhava. So, or Sthai Bhava has another name, Utsaha. On seeing his extreme courage, Utsaha Sthai Bhava. Utsaha means there is some excitement to fight with him, not a positive excitement. They were in Raudra Rasa or Veera Rasa. Because they are rulers, they are Kshatriyas, they have a fighting spirit, chivalry. But their fighting spirit is not like Bhishma's fighting spirit, where Bhishma's primary Rasa is what? Dasya. And his secondary rasa is Veera Rasa. But these fellows, their secondary rasa or whatever, their sthai bhava may be Raudra, but they are not dasyas. They are inimical towards Krishna. They are not servants of Krishna. They don't have that mood. So they are in Veera Rasa or Raudra Rasa, and Utsaha is considered their sthai bhava. They are excited to fight with Krishna or have a fight only with Krishna. Svapitroho Sishuhu. Svapitra. means his own parents, like Devaki and Vasudeva, they were seeing Krishna as Shishu, child. He is our child. They tasted his Swarupa. So, they thought that Krishna is our son. Son of Nanda, Nanda and Vasudeva, they were all seeing Krishna's original Swarupa in Vatsalya Rasa. So, their emotion is filled with Daya. Daya means mercy. Generally, parents have daya or mercy towards their sons, children. They are always compassionate and merciful towards their children. And in this context, they have shokasthayi bhava. Although they have mercy, daya is there, regular, vatsalya is there, affection is there, but in this current context, they are having shoka, lamentation. Oh, my child. Just now, an attempt was made to kill him. Somehow he came out of that attempt. Kavalaya Pida. And blood is there on his body. A mother is not very happy to see blood on the body of his son or her son. A fighter may see. Right? Someone who is in chivalrous. Bhishma was in ecstasy when he was seeing blood on Krishna's body. But that ecstasy cannot be manifested by Yashoda or Devaki. They are in Vatsalya mode. And this is also called Karuna Rasa. Shokasthayi Bhava or Karuna Rasa or Daya. Mercy is their emotion. And they are Vatsalya people. They are all different names given. So, at that time they were in great trouble. That's why they were, their pure Vatsalya appeared in Devaki and Vasudeva, who were famous as Krishna's parents. Their vatsalya is usually covered with knowledge, because Vasudeva and Devaki are not pure vatsalya devotees. They were having some aishwarya tinges. Sometimes they may go into reverential mood. They may even offer prayers to Krishna. Yashoda will never offer prayers to Krishna. She may take a stick and then try to beat Krishna or bind Krishna also, but Devaki sometimes get into reverential mood. But here they manifested pure vatsalya. They were only having daya and karuna towards Krishna. So next, bhojapater, mrityor bhojapater. Bhojapati is what? Is who? Kamsa, the king of all the bhojas. So he is seeing Krishna as mrityu. Mrityu means death. Death personified. My death has come. He was constantly searching for this death, and now the death is in front of him. He is fearful. So, he does not, and death is not the swarupa of Krishna. Appearing like death personified is not the original form of Krishna. He does it just for some people like Kamsa. Mrityuha sarvaharaschaham is not the eternal or is not the part of Krishna's innate feeling towards, emotion towards any living entity. As a matter of fact, sometimes he may have to do that. So, this also is not a part of swarupa. This is Bhayanaka, and Bhayanaka Rasa is this. And the Sthayi Bhava is Bhaya, fear. Right? So Krishna's appearance is terrorizing him and invoking fear in his heart. Next, Avidusham, Virat Avidusham. Avidusha means unintelligent people. They were seeing Krishna as Virat Purusha, or universal form. So those without knowledge, such as the priests of Kamsa and other offenders who saw Krishna as an individual material human, for them he is like just a Virat. The foolish call him the Supreme Lord, but we can see with our own eyes that he is most despicable. Taking others' wives, killing bulls like that, Gopis also said once. Such speakers as this, most sinful without anger, were lower than Kamsa. They had abhasa of bhibatsa rasa. Bhibatsa means ghastliness. Their rasa is bhibatsa. That their sthayi bhava is jugupsa, disgust. When you see Virat Rup, there is bhibatsa and there is disgust that is coming. So these people were seeing like that. Some of the ignorant priests, avidusham, ignorant priests of Kamsa, they were swinging at Krishna like that. The ignorant experienced jugupsasthai bhava and bhivatsarasa, disgust. So some people who present there were not inimical, but they did not have the knowledge of him, and they could not see Krishna in a favorable disposition. And this, again, this Virat is also not like a permanent swarupa of Krishna, right? So like the Brahmanas who had performed sacrifice and ignored Krishna, they were ignorant people present at the wrestling match. Since they did not experience any happiness from a realization of his swarupa, they did not know him. Since they did not attain the mercy of his Shakti to realize his form, they realized his human form, a human child. So Virat in this verse actually indicates a human child, a portion of the Virat form, Vira universal form. So this body is made of five elements, which are a part of Virat Rup. Right? So that way this human body, there is this universal form, is the material form of the Lord. You remember first canto, third chapter? The material form, the gross and subtle material forms of the living entity and the Supreme Lord, both are imaginary. There is one section like that, first canto, third chapter. So Virat Rup is the gross material form of the Supreme Lord, and this is the gross material form of the living entity. So they were seeing Krishna as a simple human child. That means their perception is only Virat perception. Virat. They are seeing only matter there. That way. So Tattvam Param Yoginam. Let me complete these two. Tattvam Param Yoginam means the yogis, the people who are meditators, they were seeing Krishna as Param Tattva. That is absolute truth. So Kumaras and others situated in the sky had jnana, experienced Krishna Swarupa as Brahman. They are with Shantarasa, neutrality. So they were seeing him as para. So some people are watching the show from, not from the galleries created by Kamsa, but from their own galleries of clouds in the higher planetary systems and all. So devotees with a mixture of jnana saw him as the Param Brahman, as experienced Shantasthai or Shantarasa. The Shantarasa means being fixed in Krishna with peacefulness. Shant, Param Brahma. They don't have any affection, or they don't have any devotion in servitude, they don't have conjugal feelings. All this will not manifest. Shant, Param Tattva. That's what they see. So they don't have that intense bhavas like Dasi and Sakya. They saw him as the shelter of all things. Because of not having a great portion of favorable attitude, they realized him only as the supreme existence, superior to Brahman, which is realized only as Swarupa. Because they saw him as Bhagavan, a substantial object. That is also part of Swarupa. Then Vrishnina Paradevateti Vidusho. Vrishnina means all the Vrishnis were seeing Krishna as a supreme worshipable deity, Paradevata. Yadus tasted Krishna Swarupa as servants. They are in Dasyarasa. They have Prema Bhakti towards Krishna. So the Prema Bhakti is there, Sthai Bhav. So now we have discussed 10 types of people who saw Krishna in different ways. And for some of them, Sthai Bhavas are mentioned. So Mallanam, they are seeing Krishna as Ashanir, thunderbolt. They were in Raudra Rasa. And Ranam, Naravaraha, the regular citizens of Krishna, the citizens of Mathura, they were seeing Krishna as best of all men. They were in Adbhuta Rasa or Vismaya. Then Srinam Smarav Murtiman, these people are in Sringara Rasa. They were seeing Krishna. Ladies are seeing Krishna as Cupid personified. They were in conjugal rasa. And Gopanam Svajanu, all the Gopas were seeing Krishna as Svajana, our own relative. They were in Sakhya Rasa. And their bhava, Sthai bhava is Hasya. Asatam Kshiti Bhujam, some impious rulers, kings, they were seeing Krishna as chastiser. They were in Virarasa, Rudra Rasa. Next, Swapitroha Sishuhu. The parents are seeing Krishna as child. They were having Vatsalya Rasa, and in this context, they were having Shokasthai Bhava. They were lamenting for the protection of the child because they have Karuna or Daya. Bhojapater, Mrityar Bhojapater. He was seeing him as death personified, Kamsa. And he was in Bhayanaka Rasa or Bhayasthai Bhava. Avidusha, unintelligent fellows, they were seeing Krishna as a portion of Virat Rupa, as a human child. They were in ghastliness or Jugupsa Sthai Bhava, that is Bhivatsa Rasa. Yogis are seeing him as absolute truth, Param Tattvam, Shanta, Shantarasa. Sthai Bhava is also mentioned as Shanta only, Shanta Sthai. Vrishnis are seeing him as worshipable deity, that is Prema Bhakti, they are in Dasya Rasa. Prema Bhakti is their Sthai Bhava. Okay. Mallanam Ashanirnanam Naravaram Strinam Smaro Murtiman. Gopanam Svajano Satam Kshiti Bhujam Shasta Swapitro Sishu. Mrityar Bhojapater Virada Vidusham Tattvam Param Yoginam. Vrishninam paradevateti vidito rangam gatah sagrajah. Okay. Yes, someone has a question. So of this there are four types of people who are not actually seeing Krishna's original Swarupa. Some are hostile, some are ignorant, some are without knowledge, some are without favorable knowledge. So like that. There is a lot of analysis given to this verse by various acharyas. So three types of bhavas are there. Bhava opposing affection, bhava which is neutral to affection, bhava with affection found in those with knowledge and those who are devoted. A little deeper explanation you can go through other purports. But whatever we have discussed is sufficient within Vidyapit. Okay. Jugupsa means disgusting. Yes, sir. That is Jugupsa. So when you see Virat Rupa, that's what you feel. When you see a human body, someone who are not very intelligent, they feel little disgusted. Seeing that Virat Rupa basically inspires disgust. You don't feel attracted, you don't feel like embracing it or worshipping it like that. There is a lot of ghastliness. When you see ghastliness, then there is disgust. So in the generic sense, that's what is mentioned to them. But their perception is no better than a human. Right? This, they are not, they saw Krishna as human. But why they get jugupsa towards Krishna? It's not jugupsa. Jugupsa sthai bhav is the regular sthai bhav for someone who is seeing Krishna in ghastliness, universal form perceived. But why universal form is mentioned here? Just only because of that human aspect they have seen. They have seen the human aspect of Krishna. Means he is a human child, any regular human child. And the human body is just a part of Virat Rupa. In that sense.
So we discussed this Mallanam Ashanir Pranam Naravaram, this long verse, where 10 categories of people perceived Krishna in 10 different ways. And Sridhar Swami quotes this verse, Raudrodbhutascha Srangara Hasyam Viro Dayatatha Bhayanakascha Bhibatsaha Shantaha Sap Prema Bhaktikaha.
So this verse enumerates all the 10 rasas experienced by these 10 categories of people. We just discussed it. So, actually Krishna is everyone's friend and well-wisher, but because we rebel against him, he chastises us
Thus we may perceive him as threatening. Krishna or God is actually merciful, and when he punishes us, that is also his mercy. So Kripa Shakti of Krishna is superior to all his different Shaktis. So the rasa definition is given here. That which is beyond imagination, heavy with wonder and relished in the heart, shining with goodness. That is known as rasa. So this we can't easily define. We can't quantify an emotion. So all these mellows and finer feelings that one has for his beloved cannot be quantified and defined. But still Rupa Goswami came up with some certain definitions. That's wonderful. So altogether there are 12 rasas, and the supreme object of all of them is Krishna. Our love and affection are actually meant for Krishna. Out of ignorance we stubbornly try to squeeze happiness and love out of material relationships which are not directly connected to Krishna, and thus life becomes a constant frustration. Solution is simple. Surrender to Krishna, love Krishna, love Krishna's devotees, and thus be happy forever. That's how the purport ends. So Krishna is ultimately the object of all rasas. So when Kamsa saw that Kavalyapida was dead and the two brothers were invincible, he was overwhelmed with anxiety. 19th verse. Tau reja tau ranga gatau maha bhujau vichitra vesha bharanasra gambarau yathanata uttama vesha dharinau manahakshipantau prabhaya nirikshatam.
Arrayed with variegated ornaments, garlands and garments, just like a pair of excellently costumed actors, the two mighty armed lords shone splendidly in the arena. Mm. Indeed, they overpowered the minds of onlookers with their effulgences.
Tad rejatau ranga gatau mahabhujau. These two boys, they shone rejatau ranga gatau. They entered the wrestling arena. Mahabhujau, they are having mighty arms. Vichitra vesha bharana sragambarau. They are decorated with very wonderful garments and ornaments. Yatha natau. They are appearing like drama artists. Uttama vesha dharinau. In beautiful attires. Manahakshipantau. They are attracting the minds. Prabhaya nirikshatam. With their effulgences. Of all people who are looking at them. Nirikshatam. So ordinary people developed highest prema, what to speak of those who are already in devotion. That is the effect of Krishna's darshan. Nirikshata uttamapa purushau janam manchasthita nagara rakshrita nripam praharsha vegot kalita kshananana papurna tripta nayanaistadananam.
O king, as the citizens of the city and the people from outlying districts gazed upon those two supreme personalities from their seats in the galleries, the force of the people's happiness caused their eyes to open wide and their faces to blossom. They drank in the vision of the Lord's faces without becoming satiated.
So general people, nirikshata uttama purushau jana. All the people saw that uttama purusha, best of all men, in front of their eyes. Manchasthita nagara raksha rashtraka nripa. So manchasthita, mancha means machan. Manchasthita means they are sitting on the galleries, balconies. From there they are seeing. Nagara, Rashtrika and Rupa, all the citizens of Mathura. Praharsha Vegot Kalitekshananaha. Praharsha, joyfully they were seeing. Vega, Praharsha Vega means the joy within their heart is very forceful. And utkalita, ikshana, and that made their vision very broad. It expanded, the joy expanded as they were looking at Krishna's beautiful form. Papurna tripta nayanais tadananam. By seeing them, their eyes were not satisfied. So with the cups of their eyes, they were drinking the beauty of Krishna with wide open eyes. Pibanta eva chakshurbhyam lihanta iha jihvayam jighranta iva nasabhyam slishyanta iva bahubhihim uchuhu parasparam tevai yatha drishtam yatha shrutam tadrupa guna madhurya prāgalbhyasmārita iva pibanta iva chakshurbhyam. They were drinking Krishna's beauty with their eyes. Pibanta iva, as if they were drinking, they were looking at Krishna. Pibanta iva chakshurbhyam lihanta iha jihvaya. They were looking at Krishna as if they were licking him with their tongues. Jihranta iva nasabhyam, as if they were smelling him with their noses, nostrils. Slishyanta iva bahubhihi, means they were looking at Krishna as if they were embracing Krishna with their arms. Pibanta iva chakshurbhyam lihanta iha jihvaya, jighranta iva nasabhyam slishyanta iva bahubhihi. Four things. They were sitting on the gallery only, but they are experiencing all the senses. That's why just the darshan, darshanam no didrikshunam dehi bhagavatarchitam rupam priyatamam svanam sarvendriya gunanjanam. Just the darshan of Krishna is sarvendriya gunanjanam. It is satisfying to all senses. How? If you see something, it is satisfying to eyes. It is not satisfying to the touch. It is not satisfying to the tongue. It is not satisfying to the ear. But seeing Krishna means satisfying all the senses. That is the effect of Krishna's darshan. Effect of Krishna's hearing about Krishna. So one sense, you come in contact with Krishna through one sense, other senses are satisfied. But it's not like that with any material object. Seeing a touch phone is not touching the touch phone. Right? Seeing the beautiful form of opposite sex is not like embracing the opposite sex. Right? So why one will hanker for it then? So like that, there is a difference. When you come in contact with material objects, you have to actually bring your senses in contact with that material object through that sense only, so that you can actually experience it. But in terms of Krishna, all the senses are satisfied. It's all totally on a spiritual plane. Uchuhu parasparam tevaihi. They started speaking to each other. Uchuhu parasparam, amongst themselves, they started discussing about Krishna. How? Yatha drishtam, yatha shrutam. Whatever little bit of his activities they have seen, yatha shrutam, whatever they have heard from here and there, they started discussing. Tad rupa, what is the subject matter of the discussion? Tad rupa guna madhurya pragalbhya smarita iva. His rupa, his form, guna, his qualities, madhurya, his sweetness and charm. Then pragalbhya, his bravery, smaritaha, they were reminded of all of that and they started discussing amongst themselves. So, Krishna is black, plus there is red blood upon him and he has a white tusk on his shoulder. So, he was so enchanting with sweet smiles. So, what did they discuss? That comes in the next chapter, next verse. Next eight verses are the talks of Mathura people. So, both the lords, both Krishna and Balaram, they have broken the sacrificial area, that arena, the sacrificial bow, that shows their confidence. Krishna is the embodiment of all beauty, fame, opulence, and therefore, those assembled in the wrestling arena became fully satisfied by glorifying, based on whatever they have heard and whatever they have seen. Yatha drashtam, yatha shrutam. Etau Bhagavatah Sakshat Dharer Narayanasya Hi Avatirna Iham Sena Vasudevasya Veshmani. Etau Bhagavatah Sakshat. These two boys are certainly expansions of Bhagavan. Who? Harer Narayanaya Hi. Directly the expansions of Hari, Narayana. Avatirna Ihamshena. They have descended, they have appeared in this world. Amshena as expansions. Vasudevasya Veshmani. In the form of sons of Vasudev, they have descended. So, means they have descended to this world and they did not appear from the womb. They cannot undergo material transformations as amshas of Narayana. So, they are direct portions, they are not Shaktya Vaishyas. 24th verse. Esha Vaikila Devakyam Jato Nitascha Gokulam Kalam Etam Vasan Gudho Vavrudhe Nanda Vishmani. Eshavai Kila Devakyam. This one, this boy, Krishna, they were pointing towards Krishna. He took birth from Mother Devaki. Jato Nitascha Gokulam and was brought to Gokul. So this news has spread already. Whatever Narada Muni revealed in Mathura to Kamsa, that news is going out slowly. So Kalam Etam Vasan Gudho Vavridhe Nanda Veshmani. So he remained concealed, Gudha, concealed all this time, growing up in the house of Nanda Maharaj as his son. Like that. The secret has been revealed now. Now they speak about Krishna specifically. In the previous verse, they spoke about Krishna and Balaram in general. Now they are specifically speaking about Krishna. 25th verse. Putananena Nitantam Chakravatascha Danavaha Arjuna Guhya Kaha Keshi Dhenu Konyecha Tadvidhaha Putana Nena Nitattvam. Krishna has killed Putana and Nita Antam. Nitantam means he brought about her Anta, end. What did Sukadeva Goswami say there? In the when Putana comes into the house of Nanda Maharaj, Putana, Sukadeva Goswami says, Antakam Aropya, Anantam Aropya Yadantakam, like that one line comes. Although he is Anantam Aropa Yadankam, Antakam. He is Ananta, not knowing that he is Ananta unlimited, she took her. She took that baby, Krishna, 6 days old baby Krishna, and then put him on her ankasima, her lap. Anantam aropayad ankam antakam. He is ananta, he has no end, but he can cause your end. Like that. And he brought the end of Krishna. Nita antam. Krishna brought the end of Putana. Chakravatascha danavaha. And also he killed Chakravata demon, that is Trinavarta. Arjuna Guhyakaha Keshi. Arjuna is twin Arjuna trees, Nalakvara and Manigriva. He brought them down. Guhyaka, a demon named Shankachuda. Keshi is horse demon. Dhenuka and Anyecha Tadvidhaha. He has killed so many such people. So here Dhenuka is attributed to Krishna. Actually Dhenuka was killed by Balaramji. So when the news was coming from Vrindavan to Mathura, it was getting slightly distorted. The credits are going to some other people, just like newspapers also. Are you saying, oh, Marathi, usko? Kaun Marathi? Oh, yeah. Mujhe laga, hey. Nahi, wohi hai, yaar. Like that, things will just spread and someone else become responsible of something else. For which he is not responsible. So this happened there at that time also. Gavahasapala etena Davagnehi parimochitaha Kaliyodamitaha sarpa Indrascha vimadah kritaha Saptahameka hastena Dhrito dvipravaro muna Varshavata shanai bhaischam Paritratam cha gokulam.
So gavah sapala etena davagnehi parimochitaha. He protected the cows along with their gopalas, along with the cowherds, from Davagni, forest fire. Kaliyo damataha sarpa. He also subdued the pride of Kaliya. Sarpa. Sarpa means that which moves here and there. Sarpati iti sarpaha. That which moves like this. It doesn't have a straight movement. Then Indrasya vimadaha krataha. He also subdued the pride of Indra. Saptaham means for one full week. Eka hastena, one hand only. Dhruto dviparvaro munaha. He has held this great mountain, Adri, on his hand. Dhrito Adri Pravaro Amuna. Adri Pravara. Adri is mountain. Adri Pravara is best of all mountains. Hantaya Madri Rabala Haridasa Varyu. Like that. Then Varsha Vata Shanai Vyascha Pratitratam Cha Gokulam. And he protected all the Gokul Vasis from this Varsha, winds and rains. Gopyasya nitya mudita hasita prekshanam mukham pashyantyo vividham stapam tarantismarshamam muda. Gopyo asya nitya mudita. There are gopis who are constantly cheerful. Nitya mudita, always happy. Hasita prekshanam mukham, why they are happy? And why they are hasita, why they are smiling? Because they are able to see beautiful face of Krishna, his glances. Pashyantyo, they were seeing. Vividham stapam staranti smashramam muda. So they are completely overcome by all kinds of overcome. They have overcome all kinds of distresses. Tapa, fatigue, ashramam, fatigue, because of experiencing the bliss of his face, seeing his face, which is always cheerful with smiling glances and ever free from fatigue. So Krishna is blissful, so whoever sees him is also blissful. So there are some women who especially spoke about this special bhava of the gopis. So all the obstacles and scoldings of the husbands and father-in-laws, they have overcome all of them very easily because they were seeing Krishna's face. So they are not like us. We are unfortunate. We are seeing Krishna being beaten up by this Mushtika and Chanura, about to be beaten up. We are so unfortunate. But they were seeing Krishna happily playing flute. They were more fortunate than us. So Mathura Vasis are appreciating the fortune of Vrindavan Vasis. Vidantyanena Vamshoyam Vadantyanena Vamshoyam Yadohu Subahu Vishrutaham Shriyam Yasho Mahatvamcham Lapsyate Parirakshitaham. It is said that under his full protection, the Yadu dynasty will extremely become famous and again attain wealth, glory and power. Now they spoke of the past times that he would enact in Mathura. Aho alam shlaghyatamam yadohkulam, aho alam dhanyatamam madhorvanam. Like that, Hastinapur Vasis also glorify the fortune of Mathura Vasis. Ayam chasyagrajaha shriman Ramaha Kamala Lochana Pralambo Nihato Yena Vatsakoye Bakadayaha. Now they divert their attention to Balramji. Ayamcha Asya Agrajaha Shriman. So this boy, other boy, white boy, he is the Agraja, elder brother of that black boy. Ramaha Kamala Lochana. That beautiful-eyed, lotus-eyed boy is known as Rama, Balarama. Pralambo nihato yena, he has killed Pralambasur. Vatsaka, he has killed Vatsasur, although Krishna killed. They are seeing that Balaramji has killed. Bakadeha, he killed Bakasura also and others. Okay, the sequence of events, the truth of events also was slightly distorted when the news came all the way. So, now when all the people, when Mathuravasis were discussing amongst themselves like this, about the glories of Krishna and Balaram, some of the followers of Kamsa became very restless. Why people are discussing so much about them? So they started beating drums, thar, 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 just to stop their, then to divert their attention towards the drums. So they started beating drums to interrupt or stop the talks of the citizens. So that only shows the envy of the wrestlers. Okay, next point, like that. 31. Janeshvevam Bhuvaneshu Turyeshu Nanadat Sucha Krishna Ramau Samabhashya Chanuro Vakyam Abravit. So, Vakyam Abravit. Vakyam can also mean avakyam. Cruel words. Well, the people were talking in this way. Musical instruments resounded, and the wrestler Chanura addressed Krishna and Balaram with following words. Krishna Ramo Samabhashya Chanuram Vakyam Abravit. He started speaking to Krishna and Balaram very unsuitable and cruel words. What are they? We will see. So Chanura was unable to tolerate all the praises of Krishna and Balaram. All the citizens sitting in the galleries were praising him, right? So he could not manage, he could not tolerate. So in a very mocking way, he said, He Nanda Suno, He Rama, Bhavantau Virasammatau, Niyuddha Kushalau Shrutva, Ragnahutau Didrikshuna, He Nandasuno, O son of Nanda Maharaj. He Rama, O Balaramji. Bhavantau Virasammatau. You both are very much approved or what to say, respected by Viras, even great heroes also. Virasammatau. Next, He Nandasuno. Why Krishna is being addressed as Nandasuno here? Nanda was Krishna's father, right? True father, he says. And Rama is, he gave pleasure to all. Now we can fight. So these are the positive meanings. Krishna, when he is addressed as Nandasuno, the original father of Krishna is Nanda Maharaj. Definitely, and Vasudeva is also father. But Nanda Maharaj's position as father of Krishna is superior to Vasudeva's position as father of Krishna. Because Nanda Maharaj's Vatsalya towards Krishna is pure, and Vasudeva's Vatsalya towards Krishna is sometimes tinged with Aishwarya. Okay? That is the positive meaning. And Rama means he always gives pleasure to everyone. That is Balarama. But what does Chanura mean by addressing them as Nandasuna and Balarama? He did not have these meanings. He is addressing him as Nandasuna and not Vasudeva Sutta, although it is known by people already. Why? Because you have low birth as a cowherd boy. You are born in a cowherd family, which is not very great. And he is addressing Balaramji as Rama because his parentage was unknown. Chanura was mocking Krishna and Balaram, minimizing their glory. So, your parent is unknown. You were born from whom? From Rohini. Where is Rohini? She is staying at Gokul. Right? Some kind of sarcastic, malicious remark he passed on Balaramji. So, like that Acharyas explained. It was only mocking. So, Niyuddha Kushalau Shtrutva. So, you both are respected by courageous men and both are also skillful in yuddha, wrestling. Having heard of your prowess, the king has called you here, wanting to see your power for himself. Ragna hutav didrikshaya. 33. Priyam ragnah prakurvatyah. Shreyo vindanti vai prajah. Manasa karmana vacha. Viparitam atonyatham. Read the translation.
Subjects of the king who try to please him with their thoughts, acts and words are sure to achieve good fortune. But those who fail to do so will suffer the opposite fate.
So we must please the king. He's our authority. If king wants you to fight, you should fight. You should not hesitate to fight. So that was his intention. So you should not refuse to fight with us. Now, in the 35th, before the 34th verse, Krishna might say, oh, you addressed as Nandasuno, sons of cowherd men. So, how can cowherds fight? They don't understand wrestling and all. They cannot wrestle. Then he says in 34th verse, Nityam Pramudita Gopa Vatsapala Yathas Putam Vaneshumalla Yudhena Kridantas Charayantiga. So Nityam Pramudita Gopa, you cowherds, I know, for Pramudita very happy. In what? Vatsapala Yathas Putam. Obviously, you are happy in herding the cows, Vatsapala. But Vaneshu Mallayuddhena, you also enjoy with Mallayuddha. You have wrestling matches also amongst yourselves, cowherds. Kridantaha Charayantigaha. As a play, you wrestle with other cowherd boys while you went to the forest to herd the cows. So Chandura explains that you are already expert wrestlers, we know it. Don't just say that you are cowherds, you don't know wrestling. So, but we wrestle with cowherds, not with you. We are boys, we are cowherd boys. We wrestle with other cowherd boys, not you. Then he answers, Tasmad ragnah priyam yuyam vayam chakaravamahe bhutaninah prasidanti sarvabhutamayon rupaham. He says, let's do what the king says. You are saying that we wrestle with only cowherd boys, not you. Don't escape like that. King wanted it, you should do it. Everyone will be pleased with us, for the king embodies all living beings. Bhutani naha prasidanti. Everyone will be pleased. Sarva bhuta mano nrupaha, mayo nrupaha. Nrupaha, king is sarva bhutamaya. Personification of all living beings. Tannisham ya bravit krishno. Deshakalo achitam vacham. Niyuddhamatmano abhishtam. Manyamano abhinandyacham. So hearing this, Krishna, who liked to wrestle and welcomed the challenge, replied with words appropriate to the time and place. However, Krishna, being diplomatic, he had different intentions also behind his speech. Let's see what he says. Praja bhojapate rasya vayam chapi vanecharah karavama priyam nityam tannaha paramanugrahah. Praja bhojapate rasya vayam chapi vanecharah. We are vanecharah, we are forest dwellers. We are not subjects of King Bhoja. We are not the praja of Bhojapati because we are forest dwellers. Forest doesn't come under the kingdom or jurisdiction of any king. That belongs to anyone, vanavasis. So karavama priyam nityam, we must gratify his desires still. For such behavior will confer upon us the greatest benefit. Tannaha param anugrahat. Still we will agree to do it. Although we are forest dwellers, we will follow the king's order. So, Bhojapate, he is indicating
apparently he is respectful, but Krishna is indicating that this fellow who is sitting on the throne, Kamsa, he is a very recent king. He just dethroned his father and then falsely just assumed the throne. But he is a very recent king. He is not qualified also. We are not subjects. That's what he intended. But as I discussed, we are also subjects of Bhoja King. He is agreeing. Okay. So actually, 31 only exposes, this 37th verse only exposes a disrespect. So, and he also says, it's for our greatest benefit. What does he mean? We will fight with you to cause pleasure to our friends and relatives, other cowherd boys, not to your king. Because we are technically not his subjects. Balavayam tulya balaihi kridishyamo yathochitam bhavenni yuddham madharmah sprishen mallasabhasadah. He says, one more argument. Balavayam tulya balaihi. We are bala, we are just 10-11-year-old boys. Tulya balaihi. We fight with people who are of equal strength. Kridashyamo yathochitam. You should always play with uchitam. Uchita means befitting. In a befitting manner. Bhaven niyuddham madharmaha. If we start fighting with you, that is not dharma. That is against the religious principles. Sprishen mallasabhasadaha. And all the assembly members of this wrestling arena will be touched by this adharma. So, we are just young boys. But we will wrestle at your insistence. Although apparently he said that Krishna prepared himself to fight. Because you are insisting us, we will fight. And later if you die, it's not our fault. He is saying, we are boys, it's not fitting that we fight with you such powerful wrestlers. But actually you people are like bachelu. Right? You are boys, you are not fit to fight with us. So that's what he intended inside. And still we will fight. And if you die, don't blame us. And your people also should not blame us. So, touching my limbs, soft limbs, would be like thunderbolt upon you. Mallana Mashanir. So beware. Still if you are insisting that way we will fight. So, you are like weak fellows. I fight with my cohort boyfriends like Sridhama, Sudama. So that's a perfect match for me. I can't fight with weak fellows like you, but because you are insisting, I will fight. Now Chandura said. Actually Krishna, although sometimes he has the desire to get, desire to fight and derive fighting pleasure, still only his devotee can give him that pleasure. Only when Jambavan fought with Krishna, he was satisfied. Before Jambavan, Krishna fought with so many demons in Vrindavan, in Mathura and in Dwaraka. He killed Vyomasur, Trinasur, Akasur, Akhasur, Bakasur, Trinavarta, all these people he killed, and Chandura, Mushtika, Shalatosha, all these people he killed, and Kamsa he killed, and he also killed Jarasandha and many other followers of Jarasandha, but still he did not get the fighting pleasure. Then in that Shamantakamani episode, he eventually met Jambavan. Then he fought with Jambavan for 28 days. So for 28 days, such a great devotee, exalted devotee of Lord Ramachandra of Jambavan, could not recognize that he was fighting with Krishna, fighting with Ram only. Why? Because Lord was not satisfied. He still wants that fight. He still wants that pleasure of fighting with his devotee, and he wants to give his devotee also that pleasure of fighting. Jambavan also desired to fight with Ram. Ram said, I am Maryada Purushottam. For this fighting business, you need Purna Purushottam, not me. I am sober. I am bounded. I am bound by the boundaries of sobriety and dharma. If I fight with my devotees, it doesn't look good. But Krishna doesn't bother so much with those protocols. He will fight. You wait till Krishna comes to you to fight. So then Krishna came and fought with Jambavan. And then after 28 days, Jambavan is satisfied, means he is tired. And Krishna was also satisfied, then the Ram was revealed.
So otherwise Chandura, Mushtika, they are not suitable opponents of Krishna. They can't stand in front of Krishna. Now Chandura is saying, Nabalona Kishorastvam Balascha Balinam Varaham Lilaye Bho Hato Yena Sahasradvipa Sattvabhrit Na balo, na kishorastam. You are not young boys, balas, or kishorastam, not even youth also. Balascha balinam varaha. You are the best of all strong men. How? What is the proof? Leela yebho hato yena. Just as a play, Leela, you just killed Kolayapida some time back. Sahasra dvipa sattva bhrut. And that one elephant is having the strength of 1,000 elephants, Sahasradvipa, Sattvabhrit. But you killed. So how can you claim that I am boy, I cannot fight with you? Then, Tasmad bhavad bhyam balibhir yodhavyam nanayo travi mayivikrama varshneyam balena sahamushtikaha. So therefore, you two should fight, powerful wrestlers. There is certainly nothing unfair about that. You, O descendant of Rishni, can show your prowess against me, and Balramji can fight with Mushtika. So Krishna paired with Chanura, and Balramji paired with Mushtika. So that's how this chapter ended. The next chapter again describes the agitation of all the Mathuravasis upon seeing this unfair fight. So, in that agitation, they also glorify the Vrajavasis. So, more glories of Vrajavasis and more glories of Krishna's soft, tender-like form we will discuss in the next class on Radhashtami. Thank you. Grantharaya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.